Madam Clerk.
Oral questions by members.
Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, under this Premier's reckless decriminalization experiment, we've seen record-breaking drug-related deaths and an explosion of violence. In our hospitals, nurses are now compelled to hand out crack pipes and needles and even teach users how to inject drugs into their IV lines. We have businesses profiteering from addiction, exploring business models for the commercialization of cocaine. His public health officer is aggressively pushing to legalize hard drugs like methamphetamine, heroin, and fentanyl, treating them as casually as cannabis. Secret government reports commissioned under this Premier's watch look at market impacts and profiting off of legalization. This radical Premier has consistently championed the legalization of dangerous drugs like meth and crack cocaine and driven us to this crisis. So, Mr. Speaker, British Columbians are tired of this. And when will this Premier finally adopt BC United's policy to end the NDP's catastrophic decriminalization experiment?
Members must refrain from calling names and attaching labels when people are addressing each other. Premier.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker, and thank you to the member for the question on an issue that's important to many British Columbians. On the one hand, the deaths of thousands of British Columbians, their families, the friends who are devastated by those deaths, or members in this chamber who have been directly and personally affected, or British Columbians across the province who have been affected. And it was in the spirit of addressing this issue. I know that at one point, the Leader of the Opposition was proud of supporting a safe injection site in British Columbia. At the time, a significant thing. And there was a lot of public anxiety about it, but it was to prevent deaths. It was to prevent the transmission of HIV, hepatitis. There was an all-party committee where we sat together and heard from families struggling to get loved ones access to care, struggling to respond, and asking for government to try different approaches to deal with this crisis. And that's why both sides of this House, the chiefs of police, supported moving ahead with decriminalization. That doesn't mean that we accept the disorder on the streets in our communities. People not feeling safe in parks and playgrounds and in businesses in our province and hospitals. Minister of Health is working with health officials right now to ensure that everybody is safe in our hospitals. We're working with police and key stakeholders to make sure they have the tools they need to address public order issues in British Columbia. The member says BCUP policy. Well, it depends on the day, Honourable Speaker. And I'll say this to the member, our commitment is to British Columbians, to support those who are sick with addiction, to get them the help they need, do our best to keep them alive, and to ensure that their communities are safe right across the province.
Leader of the Official Opposition, supplemental.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. And once again, I'm sure the Premier doesn't mean to mislead the House, but unfortunately, he's giving information that he must know by now, because the record's been corrected multiple times, that when he tries to suggest that the Official Opposition ever supported decriminalization, he knows that's wrong. In fact, we not only not supported it, but we made it very clear to this Premier and his reckless government approach to decriminalization that it wasn't going to work. In fact, it was this Premier and his government that in 2020 had in their own election campaign promised that they were going to fast track the decriminalization of drugs. Any claim that the health committee, the all-party health committee, played a role or endorsed the NDP's effort to fast-track implementation of decriminalization is utterly false. The decisions were made before that committee was ever struck, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, only in the NDP's British Columbia could you have a situation where you've got an 80-year-old patient lying next to someone smoking a crack pipe. But that's the reality under this Premier and this NDP government. Despite record-breaking deaths and criminal activity, the Premier stubbornly defends his catastrophic decriminalization policy. His push to expand these measures to full legalization of heroin, meth, and fentanyl has deep roots. The Premier once wrote on Facebook, and I quote, you might want to listen to this. And I quote the Premier.
No. Members, the Leader of the Official Opposition has the floor.
The Premier once wrote on Facebook, and I quote, we're in favor of the legalization and regulation of all currently illicit drugs. End of quote. British Columbians have had enough. After seeing the disastrous consequences of his policies, how can British Columbians trust a Premier who has long championed such extreme views to fix the disaster caused by his reckless and failed decriminalization experiment?
Premier.
Honourable Speaker, British Columbians are concerned about the deaths. They are concerned about making sure that people have a chance to stay alive to get into treatment. They want to make sure as well that their communities are safe. These are perfectly reasonable and understandable concerns that are shared by everybody on this side of the House. And we will ensure we deliver those things to the extent that we are able to do so with the powers that we have here in the Legislative Assembly. Those are our goals for a BC where we treat people with compassion and understanding, and we also make sure the communities are safe. Now, the member has his own revisionist history, but it was an all-party committee that came together and ratified...
Members will be in order.
The House Leader and the current House Leader sits beside the Leader of the Opposition, stood in this place and said, we support that. We support that report. It was the all-party committee. Now, I understand that they don't want to admit that. That's okay. But for us in government, we have to work with the reality on the ground of making sure that people are supported in getting into treatment and that
members will come to order,
safe.
Please.
We're going to continue to do that work for British Columbians.
Members on both sides. When a question is asked, we expect the other side to be quiet, and when the answer is provided, we have the same expectation from the other side. Please, let's follow up. Member for Kelowna Mission.
People are not safe. British Columbians are exhausted. And they're exhausted by this Premier's extreme policies. Despite the record level of drug-related deaths and crime, this Premier refuses to back down on decriminalizing hard drugs like meth, heroin, and fentanyl. But perhaps he refuses to back down because deep down, he actually wants to go further to full legalization. He told the media, and I quote, if you want to take your welfare check and spend the whole thing on crack, that's your right, end quote. Mm-hmm. How can British Columbians trust a Premier who, despite the devastating consequences we see every day, refuses to back down and continues to push for the full legalization of hard drugs? Here, here.
Premier.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. I've been clear, I'll say it again. We're going to do everything we can to ensure people are able to access treatment, they're able to stay alive to be able to access treatment.
Members.
And to make sure that our communities are safe. We're going to continue to do that work. And so the members on the other side, just to refresh their memories, the Leader of the Opposition, September 23rd, 2023, today in BC podcast, quote, some of the chiefs of police were supportive of decriminalization. What they were supportive of is not charging people for small amounts of drugs, and I agree with that. The member for Surrey South, February 27, 2023, quote, the minister talked about decriminalization, and it has been made clear that all parties had supported decriminalization, unquote. Member for Surrey South again, March 3rd, 2023.
Quote, members, 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 members will come to order, please. Member for Surrey South.
Member for Surrey South, March 3rd, 2023, CBC, quote, I don't want to come across as not in favour because through the Select Standing Committee on Health, we have supported. The NDP will try to tell you that we are backtracking on decrim, which is not the case. We're not backtracking on decrim. We're not backtracking on the need for harm reduction. Does it mean that our party doesn't support decrim or harm reduction? Absolutely not. We do. With our whole hearts, we want to save people.
Member for Kelowna Mission has supplemental. Member for Kelowna Mission has the floor. Members, members, members.
If this, if the Premier is so convinced that that we support decriminalization over here on this side, I would welcome a vote in which we could all stand and ask. Hear from the Premier's response just now was actually that he wasn't marching us full headstrong into legalization of all hard drugs. Despite the escalating chaos, the government's public health officer aims to expand and fully legalize hard drugs like meth, crack cocaine, fentanyl, akin to the cannabis legalization. The government conceded it commissioned Dr. Calkins to evaluate expanding this disastrous drug policy, but continues to withhold the secret report, even hiding behind a non-disclosure agreement. Surprise, surprise. British Columbians are demanding that this government adopt BC United's policy to end the Premier's reckless and failed decriminalization experiment. Yet behind closed doors, the NDP is doubling down to legalize and profit from meth, cocaine, and fentanyl. Will the Premier release Dr. Calkins' secret report today and assure
Members.
British Columbians that not another cent of taxpayer money will be wasted on expanding their failed experiment to decriminalize dangerous hard drugs?
Members, the question has already been asked. Please wait for your turns. Premier.
Thanks. The member knows what she's saying is not true. She knows that. Because I can read the quotes from the member who's sitting literally beside her.
Quote, member, there's no need for interjections, please. Member for Surrey South. Second time I'm warning the member for Surrey South. Please. Premier has the floor.
Does it mean that our party doesn't support decrim or harm reduction? Absolutely not. We do. With our whole hearts, we want to save people. It's the Leader of the Opposition indicates, that's just one member. How about the Leader of the Opposition? The Leader of the Opposition.
Members.
Thank you. The members are a lot more.
Members. 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 Calm down. Please, let's wait for the answer. If answer is not acceptable, sure, you can ask next question. But no members, no arguments, members. Member for Kamloops North Thompson, no arguments, please. Premier.
I just don't know exactly which quote of the leader is accurate. March 13th in Chinese social media, quote, I have never supported decriminalization. September 23rd, 2023, today on BC Podcast, some of the chiefs of police were supportive of decriminalization. What they were supportive of is not charging people for small amounts of drugs, and I agree with that. It's hard to understand the BCUP policy because it changes week to week to week. If the member wants to be quoted accurately, I'm happy to do that, Honourable Speaker.
Members. House Leader of the Third Party has the floor now. Members, later on we will be complaining that not enough time was given to the opposition for questions. So let's please keep that in mind. Member.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today I ask my question on behalf of nature and more than 600 bears and their orphan cubs. The BC Conservation Officer Service is essentially the Environment Minister's own little army, Mr. Speaker. It's a heavily armed service of special provincial constables with unlimited appointments, no constabulary independence, no arm's length oversight. Unlike other constables, under Section 106 of the Environmental Management Act, BC Conservation Officer Service is, quote, under the direction of that minister, end quote. As I learned from the Environment Minister's colleague this week, the only way for the Conservation Service to have basic independence, the basic independence and arm's length oversight that British Columbians expect from people with those unlimited appointments, is for the Environment Minister to ask. So, in my response today, will he turn to his colleague and ask that the BC Conservation Service be designated a police or law enforcement service effective immediately?
Minister of Environment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and thank you to the member for the question. Notwithstanding the fact that characterizing the women and men who work in the Conservation Officer Service, protecting communities, valued by communities, protecting wildlife, and generally ensuring that activities around the interface between humans and animals and the safety of animals and nature against poachers and others are dedicated. They're the furthest thing possible from a private army directed by a minister. There is a chain of command in the Conservation Officer Service. The Solicitor General.
Member.
The Solicitor General and I have had many conversations around the appropriate oversight and phasing different bodies into the Police Act since a decision of the courts affirmed that the Conservation Officer Service were, in fact, in certain circumstances, a special constabulary. What I will tell you is that the Conservation Officer Service supports the implementation of third-party oversight as a tool to enhance transparency and public trust. We are working on that. We currently also have measures in place that provide for oversight and response to complaints. We have a new position, the Inspector of Provincial Standards, to monitor and provide oversight on complaints. We are working with other bodies. We are developing a response to the public that wants to see oversight. The member, Honourable Speaker, can shake his head, as he often does when I provide factual answers, but they are the facts.
Thank you. Member has supplemental.
The minister knows where the chain of command ends, and it's at his feet. That's where the chain of command ends, and it's unique. It's unique for people with these unlimited appointments to be under the direction of a minister, Mr. Speaker. And in fact, all we need to do is go back to estimates or to the bill debate this week for the Minister of Public Safety to admit that he doesn't have the same powers over people with these unlimited appointments as the Minister of Environment does. So I am shaking my head for good reason, Mr. Speaker, because the people that he characterized, good people in the BC Conservation Service, don't have the basic level of safety and security that their colleagues who are working for municipal police services have. We expect that. That's the confidence that we can have in our police services when we give them these powers. That's the expectation that the people that they work alongside with, the RCMP officers, the municipal police services, expect that the people working alongside them have the same oversight. That doesn't exist in this province, Mr. Speaker, and it was a basic admission from the Minister of Public Safety earlier this week. I wonder why it is that the Minister of Environment wouldn't want the people who investigate crimes against nature to have independence in those investigations. When was the last time that we saw in this province an environmental investigation lead to charges, Mr. Speaker, of any level of seriousness? I wonder why that's the case. Anyway, look, we can't sell that we've got this exceptional framework, Mr. Speaker,
question
in this
member.
Province, gloating that we have world-class resource extraction standards, if our nature cops, Mr. Speaker, are the enforcement puppets
question.
Of the Cabinet Minister.
Question, member.
So my question to the Minister of Environment, will he turn to his colleague the Minister of Public Safety, and ask him today, right now, in front of the people of British Columbia, to assign, to designate the BC Conservation Officer Service as a police or law enforcement service effective immediately.
Minister.
Mr. Speaker, it is sad that the member opposite, the House Leader for the third party, simply can't hear or comprehend the answers that are given. I have never said I don't support
Let the minister. Members, we are wasting time in question period. Please, member will, minister will conclude.
I have never said I don't support independent oversight. In fact, I do.
Member, member.
In fact, the Conservation Officer Service has adopted the practice of hiring an external lawyer to conduct investigations into any alleged serious misconduct complaints. We will continue to look at new measures and are currently looking at new measures to ensure that the public can have trust that their complaints are handled independently, with integrity and transparently.
House Leader of the Fourth Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker. Yeah. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. And that is exactly what this BC NDP government is doing with their radical and experimental decriminalization of hard drugs. Decriminalization was introduced by the BC NDP and supported by BC United, who voted in favor of it.
Members. Member will continue.
I would remind this House of when the member from South Thompson stood up and yelled, "Of course we support decriminalization," and then got a standing ovation from that team as when he did it. Mr. Speaker, BC has set a record of 2,511 suspected illicit drug deaths since 2023. Despite the NDP decriminalization pilot, jurisdictions like Oregon are now reversing their decriminalization programs because they have figured it out. Decriminalization does not work.
Question.
When this NDP premier inevitably decides to
question
reverse decriminalization, or better yet, when he gets his best
let's have a question, member.
Pull the plug, in exchange for keeping the Liberal NDP carbon tax, will this NDP premier commit to compensating the families of the victims who died as a result of his radical experiment, or will he try to sweep it under the rug?
Minister of Mental Health and Addictions.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Speaker. The member opposite is right that we lost 2,539 British Columbians last year to an unprecedented public health emergency. And in fact, we have just acknowledged and commemorated the 8th anniversary of the toxic drug crisis, a crisis that not only British Columbians are grappling with, but every single jurisdiction across the country, across the continent, communities who are in the grips of a fentanyl crisis, an illicit drug supply that is poisoned, that is contaminated with high concentrations of vicious drugs that are killing people. That is the context in which we are working to bring every single tool we can to support people who are struggling with addictions, to keep them alive so we can connect them to care, to support their families, to build out those pathways, to support our healthcare workers who are in the trenches day after day trying to match and keep up with the viciousness of organized crime and predatory drug dealers who are doing this to our communities. We are going to continue to do that work. We're going to continue to use every single tool that we can to protect our communities.
Member has supplemental. Member.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The biggest drug dealers in this province are now this government, Mr. Speaker.
Member.
There is no justification.
Member. Member will withdraw that comment, please.
I withdraw, Mr. Speaker. There is no justification for keeping a policy that has endangered so many British Columbians. This is dogma, not science. I truly hope the Premier would reverse course on his radical policy instead of doubling down. Mr. Speaker, the common sense approach of the Conservative Party of BC is to prioritize prevention and recovery so we can get people back to living healthy lives. But it sounds like the Conservatives will have to wait to introduce common sense policies after we form government in October. So in the meantime,
question member.
In the
question.
Meantime, I will ask the question.
Question
again.
Member.
Will this NDP government compensate families of victims who have died as a result of this radical experiment of decriminalizing drugs?
Minister.
Honourable Speaker, this is indeed a very, very serious question. Very serious for the people who are watching potentially these proceedings. Very serious for people who are maybe don't know where to turn for help if they're struggling with an addiction, where they need to reach out and get care. And I want people to know, I want British Columbians to know that we are doing everything that we can to make access possible, to connect them to care, that there are places where they can reach out and get help. This is a terrible scourge that we are experiencing. Our neighbors next door in Alberta saw a 17% increase in mortality last year. Saskatchewan, a devastating increase in mortality there. We know that it is absolutely critical that we work across the whole continuum, that we make those investments in treatment. We have made unprecedented investments to stand up treatment beds, to stand up access. We're going to continue to do that work with our partners.
Member for Coquitlam-Millardville.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, on Monday, the Premier extended a Passover greeting, noting the dramatic rise in anti-Semitism. Yet his touted responses, Holocaust education, anti-racism funding, and a racist incident hotline are all long-standing initiatives that have been years in the making. We have a community under attack, and the only thing new that government can muster is financial help to hire additional security. These measures do not address the immediate and escalating threats facing the Jewish community today. And I know that the Premier and the Attorney General spoke yesterday with the Special Envoy for Holocaust Remembrance and Anti-Semitism just yesterday. And I want to know, Mr. Speaker, when will the Premier finally take the rise of anti-Semitism seriously, put a real, actual plan together that specifically targets and combats anti-Semitism in our schools, in our post-secondary institutions, and in the public service?
Government House Leader.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. And the member knows that we take racism very seriously. I've shared with the member in multiple times. The member has raised questions around this, the list of things we've done. I won't repeat them again. I can share with the member that April 17th, that we provided $200,000 to the Jewish Federation, the Greater Vancouver. I think it's important to note that these dollars are called by from the community. Jason Murray, who's the chair of the Community Security Advisory Committee, the Jewish Federation of Greater Vancouver, said this announcement will help provide relief to organizations to provide services to children, seniors, families, and the most vulnerable people in our community. Honourable Speaker, the work we're doing continues. We continue to engage with community. The Premier and the Attorney General also just met with last week with the Special Envoy for Preserving Holocaust Remembrance and Combating Anti-Racism. And it was important to note that the Special Envoy said BC is leading the country in doing innovative work on reporting hate crimes, works on tackling the scourge of hate and anti-Semitism, Honourable Speaker. So we understand there's fear in the community, Honourable Speaker. We're committed to continue to work with the community to ensure that that people feel safe in our communities. This is something we're committed to. This is not something that we just started doing, Honourable Speaker. This is stuff that work that we've been doing since 2017, since we formed government.
Member for Vancouver-Langara.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
When the member for Coquitlam-Millarville stands up in this House, as she did, to remark upon the Passover statement yesterday in 2-minute statement, you need to hear her. All members of this House need to hear her. She's taken the step to step off and resign from the cabinet. She's taken the step to resign from the government caucus. And she's now on this side of the House asking some very important questions on behalf of not just the Jewish community, but for all communities who are concerned about civil society. When we have any person in this province who has to live in fear from being targeted on our streets, in our communities, on university colleges and campuses, for who they are. And all we hear from this government, from this Premier and this Attorney General, who doesn't have the common decency to stand up in this House to address the serious questions that the member from Coquitlam and Marville has been asking. It's been over 6 months. The fact that the Premier and the Attorney General has now reached out to the Special Envoy to deal with anti-Semitism in Canada. The member for Coquitlam and Marville has been speaking with that Special Envoy on a weekly basis since November. And that member had been leading the charge to address anti-Semitism on university and college campuses with other ministers of education across Canada.
Question, member.
But this Premier chose to sack her. What kind of action is that?
Question, member.
Mr. Speaker, we have a community under attack, and all the government can master is financial help to hire additional security from that attack. This Premier's dismissive approach to evident anti-Semitism with this government and caucus, as
does
called
member
out by
have
the
a
member
question?
Of Coquitlam Marvel, has deeply eroded public trust. Immediate steps should include adopting the IRA definition of anti-Semitism in the law and taking concrete action now to stamp out anti-Semitism in our province that is so pervasive.
Member
but
will
any
ask
steps,
question.
First and foremost, must be an independent and transparent inquiry into anti-Semitism within his NDP party, the
member?
Government caucus, and the cabinet. That is crucial.
Question,
will
member?
The Premier commit to these immediate and necessary actions today?
Government House Leader.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. I want to start by saying that I respect the work that the member from Coquitlam-Millarville did around addressing anti-Semitism. I respect the work that she did standing up to anti-LGBTQ hate in her community. The member knows that. I've said it publicly. I've said it on numerous occasions. And the member asked questions, and I shared with the things that we were doing, significant things. Special Envoy said that we've made significant steps. We know there's more work to do, Mr. Speaker. But with all due respect to the member across the way, I will not be taking lessons from him on how to address anti-racism or anti-Semitism. I will not. I will not. Honourable Speaker,
members.
I can get to you too, Honourable Speaker.
Members. Members.
Honourable Speaker, this is a party that when they had the opportunity, when they were on this side, you know what they did? They created a quick wins document, which said, you know what, how can we take political advantage of people's struggles, Honourable Speaker? That's what these guys did. When we brought, Honourable Speaker, when we brought people, no, this is important, Honourable Speaker.
Members.
Honourable Speaker.
Members, let the minister conclude, please. That's enough, member.
Honourable Speaker, when we brought people who have faced racism in our communities to the chamber when we introduced the anti-racism legislation, the person who just spoke, you know what he called it in the legislature?
Members.
He said it's a stunt. He called it a stunt, Honourable Speaker. He called it a stunt.
Member.
So, Honourable Speaker, let me just end with this. Honourable Speaker, let me end with this. If the
members will come to order now. Members, members, please, let's be quiet for a minute.
Let me end with this, Honourable Speaker. We take anti-Semitism, any form of hate against anyone, very seriously. We constantly are pushing back against that. I've listed a whole host of things that we've done Since the vicious attacks on October 17th, we are committed to continue to work to make sure people feel safe in this community. If the member has suggestions, I'm always happy to hear her suggestions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The bell ends the question period.